Unusual exhibits range from the offshore oil rig Mr. Charlie, open to the public at the International Petroleum Museum and Exposition in Morgan City, Louisiana, to the collection of 15 Spindletop-related buildings at Texas's Spindletop Gladys City Boomtown Museum. The pride of each local oil culture is palpable. Ohioans date their state's oldest drilled well to 1814, but it was sunk in pursuit of salt. The Oil and Gas Museum in West Virginia, in turn, says that its oldest well, at Burning Springs near Parkersburg, dates to 1860, while nearby oil operations may antedate Pennsylvania's 1859 strike. The Norman No. 1 Museum in Neodesha, Kansas, boasts a replica of what was supposedly the oldest drilled well west of the Mississippi. Little-known bits of Petroleana appear everywhere. The California Oil Museum, headquartered in Union Oil's 1890 office building, has an exhibit showing how Native Americans used oil seeps. Curators in Louisiana insist that oil was first discovered locally by the 1543 expedition of Hernando de Soto. The Oil and Gas Museum, Appalachian and contentious, describes George Washington as the first petroleum industry speculator by dint of his 1771 purchase of 250 acres in what was then Virginia that had an oil and gas spring. Enthralled readers can subscribe to Oil Industry History, published in Meadville, Pennsylvania, or Check the Oil, a journal of American Petroleana. I emphasize this petroculture not for its own sake, but for several larger reasons. First, the obvious politics of local pride and affectionate memory, which reaffirms the intensity of the decisive energy culture. Second, the striking resemblance to the latter-day memory lanes of two other great energy cultures that changed too little or too late. Britain has dozens of major coal and railway museums, thickest in the north of England, where coal midwived the first railway steam engine and where the Industrial Revolution unfolded during the first half of the 19th century. In those years, Britain produced and consumed more than half of the world's coal. The Dutch take the same pride in their sturdy dikes and well-preserved 17th and 18th century windmills, some 1,000 of which still stand. These, too, are prime attractions for visitors, the best being grouped into 6 open-air museum parks. 250 years ago, the Zaan district just outside Amsterdam was Europe's first industrial complex, with 900 or so windmills. Some survivors were famous enough in their day to have nicknames like De Kat, a grinder of coloring materials, and De Schoolmeester, reputed source of the parchment used for the American Declaration of Independence. The larger point, of course, is that because the 21st century United States has a pervasive oil and gas culture from its own earlier zenith, with an intact cultural and psychological infrastructure, it's no surprise that Americans cling to and defend an ingrained fuel habit. Many of the museums and exhibits date from the 1980s. The hardening of old attitudes and reaffirmation of the consumption ethic since those years may signal an inability to turn back. The chance to do so came a quarter century ago. From the late 70s to the early 80s, oil consumption in the United States underwent a powerful reversal. Energy-using Americans had been scared. In 1976, the political combination of the Watergate scandal, the energy crisis, inflation, economic recession, and military collapse in South Vietnam, 1975, dominated that year's election and cost Republicans the White House, albeit only by a thin margin. The new Democratic chief executive, former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter, by vocation a peanut grower and by religious belief a Sunday school teaching Baptist, had campaigned on a reformist vision. Even Texas gave him a narrow victory, casting its final 20th century vote for a Democratic president. Forswearing the trappings of the imperial presidency, Carter left his limousine to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue on Inauguration Day in January 1977. Weeks later, he made an energy speech on television wearing a cardigan sweater. In mid-1979, the embattled president underscored the second OPEC oil crisis by asking for the most massive peacetime commitment of funds and resources in our nation's history to develop America's own alternative sources of fuel from coal, from oil shale, from plant products for gasohol, from unconventional gas, from the sun.